Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Prayer Principles. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
How many think every child ought to have the benefit and privilege of sensing the presence of the Lord in their home, and there ought not be any man or any woman that's so uptight or so embarrassed about the things of the Lord that your child has never heard you pray? Your child has never heard you sing. If that's how it is, fix it today. Amen. Be a witness. Be a witness. Sing and pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Is he talking about prayer in this passage? Pray, pray, prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I know a lady came up to me teaching in healing school at Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry for years. One day a lady came up, and I was at the podium kind of like this. She walked up and she threw her Bible up just like that. She looked at me. She said, "Why doesn't that work?" Well, I just looked at it, noticed it was the Bible, and I said, "It does." She said, "No, it doesn't." I said, "Yeah, it does." She said, "Uh-uh." I said, "Uh-huh." Well, we're not getting anywhere. So I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Right here." And she was talking about this passage. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I said, "It does work. I've seen it work." She said, "Uh-uh, it didn't work for me." I said, "Really?" She said, "Uh-uh, it didn't work." I said, "You did that. You called for the elders. Yeah. They anointed you with oil. Yeah. You prayed a prayer of faith. Yeah. But the Lord didn't raise you up." "No." I said, "Really?" I said, "Let me go over this again now." "You called for the elders of the church." "Yes." "They prayed over you." "Yes." "They anointed you with oil in the name of the Lord." "Yes." "Prayed a prayer of faith for you." "Yes." "But the Lord didn't raise you up." "No." I said, "You sure?" "Yeah." I said, "I'm sorry. I guess he lied to you. I don't care who he is. Somebody tells you they're going to do something and they don't do it. Then they lied to you. I'm sorry. I guess the Lord lied to you." She said, "Uh-uh." She said, "God can't lie." I said, "That's what I thought." I said, "Let's go over this again real slow." See, people don't realize what they're saying, do they? "Oh, I tried that tithing stuff. It didn't work. I tried that faith stuff. It didn't work for me. I tried that confession stuff." Well, what are you saying? What are you saying? Are you saying the word is not true? You're saying God lied? You're saying God failed you? You're saying it doesn't work? What are you saying? People don't realize what they're saying. You're calling God a liar. How many believe he has never lied? He cannot lie. He's never failed anybody. He never will fail anybody, right? He's not going to start with you. I said, "Let's go over this again. You were sick." "Yeah, and still am." "You called for the elders of the church." "I did." "They prayed for you in the name of the Lord, anointed you with oil." "Yeah, they did." "They prayed a prayer of faith for you." "Yeah, they did." I said, "Do you remember what they prayed?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Tell me, can you quote it?" They said, "Lord, heal her if it be thy will." Well, that's obvious to you because you've been, you know, you've been hearing about these things. But I said, "Dear sister," I said, "that's not the prayer of faith." She said, "It's not?" I said, "No." I said, "You can't be in faith and you don't even know what the will of God is." So I began to tell her that, and she began to see it, and thank God she stayed and was healed. It didn't happen that day, but over the course of the next few days, she just stayed. From then on, she was there on the front row with her book and her pen. She said, "I got to learn what this prayer of faith is." I said, "Yeah, you do. Come on in here. Sit and stay with it." And she got healed. Glory to God. got healed. Thank you, Master. Well, he goes on to say, verse 16, confess your faults, or another translation says sins, one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He said, Elijah, you know, he was a man just like us. He had feelings. He had things he had to deal with. You know, boy, he stood up there, I mean, like a pillar before the prophets of Baal and called down fire. But then Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he ran scared like a rabbit, right? Crawled up under a tree and said, oh, God, kill me. I'm the last one. He said, no, you're not. I got thousands that have never bowed their knee to Baal. He's a man like us, right? But he prayed. And the very atmosphere, the heavens, if you will, were changed. I mean, the cycles of things in the earth were changed. It didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and it was changed. And the rains came, and nature was altered and affected because a man prayed. How many believe that is still true today? Proper prayer, scriptural biblical prayer, faith prayer, can affect changes in the earth. Right? How many believe that? There's a lot of people don't pray because they're not convinced it'll do any good. But friend, when you understand, when you find the truth, you realize things can be changed in the earth. Things in nations, things in politics. I mean, when we're seeing something on the news that we don't like, we ought not just sit there and gripe about it. We ought to do something about it. People think, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can pray about it. And God will hear. Hallelujah. And things be changed. Well, now notice something specific he said. He said, confess your faults. Everybody say faults. Now that's also sins. The ASV says sins. And pray one for another. Is there an area of prayer that's important concerning sins and people's sins and people's faults and mistakes? Skip on down to the 19th verse. All this goes together. Verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Did you hear that last phrase, hide a multitude of sins? Do you know that all the sins that people have received forgiveness for through the blood of the Lamb, that those sins are gone forever? They're never coming up in eternity to come. Nobody's ever going to know how you messed up. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And when you help get somebody, the word here says converted. Now that word means turned around, turned back to God. The Bible uses the word reconciled. Reconciled. When you help or are involved in somebody getting back to God and getting right with God, then all their sins are forgiven and everything, all the junk in their life is hidden and gone forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the person is saved from death. Now, that's not just talking about physical death, spiritual death. Separation from God, which includes hell. Can you and I have a part in people getting to God and getting back to God? Can our prayer life have a part in this? Is this an important part of prayer? Certainly, certainly, certainly. In fact, the Amplified, you know, on this 16th verse says, the earnest heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Can there be tremendous power made available in people's lives who don't know God or they've gotten away from God? And can the power of God work on them and enlighten them? Help them get converted and turned around. Can you and I become effective and powerful praying in these areas? Yes, we can. Jesus is the perfect example. Go back with me, please, to the book, I believe it's of Luke. You excited about this morning? I am too. Look out, lost loved ones and backslid friends. We're about to get on your case big time. Is that right? And when us and God get on your case, you might as well just give it up and come on to church. Right? Luke chapter 10. How many have some relatives that, far as you know, they're not saved? Let me see. Oh, look at these hands. Are some relatives that, far as you can tell, maybe they had been saved, but they're backslid. They ain't living for God. Yeah, look at that. Hands all over. Well, that's how it is. That's not how it has to be. In Luke 10, let's talk today about what we can do. In Luke, the 10th chapter, Luke chapter 10, are you there? And verse 2. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is great." How many can come in? Just a few? No, the harvest is great. Great. Somebody said, well, you know, the Bible talked about, you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction and many that go therein, and straight and narrow is the way and few that go there. Yeah, but few compared to what? Few compared to the billions. But even a few of billions is a great harvest, right? Many, many, many. How many believe that right now today, millions and millions and millions can and should come into the kingdom of God right now? Everybody could, but not everybody will receive. But how many believe that millions and millions and millions are just ripe? They're ripe. They heard the right word today. If it came the right way, they're just ripe to respond and receive. He said, "The harvest truly is great." It's big. But the laborers are what? Few. Is this true?
Yes, sir.
The laborers are what?
Few.
Well, I've heard people imply we had too many preachers already. Huh? That was kind of weak. Did you hear that? A lot of folk are like, yeah, I think so. I think we got too many preachers as it is.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Prayer Principles, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.